You want something done, give it to a busy person. Even if we don't love the word busy, we can replace that with productive. You want something done, give it to a productive person. It's because you will find the time and stay disciplined around it to get it done.
Yeah, spot on the mark. And that's why, because productive people manage their calendar better, right?
Right.
Hello, and welcome to Build Your Remarkable Practice podcast. This podcast is dedicated to chiropractors who are in the seasons of launching and building their practice. Join myself, Dr. Lona, and my co-host, Dr. Bobby, as we have conversations each week as it relates to building the practice of your dreams. And remember, you can have a remarkable practice as part of a remarkable life, not instead of one. We are here to lead you on the way.
What is up, legends? Welcome back to the Build Your Remarkable Practice podcast with the amazing Dr. Lona Cook and myself, Dr. Bobby Lajasevic, where we come to you every single week from practice guys, from real business, about business tips. What are the things that we've learned in our life, and quite frankly, that we continue to learn in our life, that you can leverage and you can start to apply to your practice so you can have amazing growth this year and beyond. Dr. Lona, what's been going on? How's the week? What's some successes for the week that you can share with the team? How have you been going?
It was an awesome week. Last week, I was at Nexus, which was the first seminar that Life West Nebraska has put on. So I got to visit the brand new chiropractic school, and it was an awesome event. So that was a good way to kind of kick off my week into my week.
Amazing. Good energy. I'm sure it was an amazing event when you were there.
Yeah, it was a great event. And the students were what blew me away, just because it's a small school. It's like, you know, they're only 2 years into enrollment right now. But man, like the kids are, and they're not kids, the adults that are becoming chiropractors, man, they are just like so fired up about subluxation, about chiropractic, about vitalistic chiropractic. So it was really cool to see how this tribe is building in Nebraska.
I think that's a good lesson learned there. I mean, you can see in your energy on the back of that, how important it is to get re-dipped in things like this.
Yes.
You know, I say one of the biggest enemies to success in chiropractic is the feeling of isolation. Mm-hmm. And it's very easy to fall into the state of isolation where you're a 1DC, maybe, you know, like me, my partner being, we're a 2DC practice, but you're in your own four walls, isolated, kind of like going through your own challenges on your own. But how important it is, and we know that it's an energy game. So how critically important it is that we actually make sure our energy is on point, because I believe that the number one asset of a business, full stop, is the actual energy of the founder, okay? Mm-hmm. So the number one asset of a business is the energy of a founder. And you want to make sure that you have rhythms and routines in place so that your energy is optimized. We spoke in the past about physical energy and how we go about doing that, right? Then there's mental energy. And, you know, I don't really know any other better way than to actually go and hang out with inspiring people, inspiring environments regularly to actually like get my mental energy where it should be.
Mm-hmm. So good. Yeah. And it's true for our team, right? Like we all need to be circulated around things that help us open our minds up, get dipped into like why we're doing what we're doing, which sometimes you can get too in it. Sometimes where you just need to like travel is one of the best ways to do that. And certainly traveling to chiropractic conference for all of you should like reunite your common mission.
Yeah, 100%. And today we are going to be talking about something that actually might help support that. Because in our pre-show, guys, Dr. Lona and I were talking about, obviously, you know, our goals for the year, where we're headed. We talk about what are some of the high-level goals that we have. And then as we're discussing topics for the podcast, one thing that we both straight away were like, yes, this is so key. We've got to film this, and we've got to film this somewhere toward the start of the year. It's relevant always, but especially at the start of the year, it's something that's good to hear. And that is specifically around goal setting, but it's a productivity hack that we're going to be going through today. That is my number one productivity hack in helping you get better outcomes, whether it's your business, whether it's your health, whether it's your relationship, whether it's your finances, you insert whatever it is here. And so before we talk about what this is, I want to describe the problem to you. All right? I want to describe the problem, firsthand experience that I had. Dr. Lona, I'd be interested to hear your experience on this. And I know speaking with so many chiropractors, I get this from you guys too. Here's the problem that I used to have. So rewind back to the very early days of me launching my practice. I recognized and realized that, you know, I'm all pumped and motivated and I was so happy and I got the space and we're doing the renovations and I was laying down the carpet tiles and, you know, I'm painting the walls and the computers are coming in. I'm all inspired. All right. And then finally, the first day arrives, practice, you know, opens up. And in my mind, like many of us, I thought it'd be this easy thing. You know, the beautiful naivety of me was like, just tell people what they need and they'll just listen. And, you know, very quickly, you'll have enough people and your practice will be packed. I literally thought within like 2 months, my practice would be packed, right? Just by like telling people, hey, Lona, here's what's going on, your x-ray. Oh, no, Bobby, that's not very good. Hey, Lona, we can help you with this. And here's how we do that. Here's the schedule of care. Great, let's start. And I thought that everybody would just listen and start. And that's all you had to do, right? And then, of course, the inevitability of business rears its head where you rock up and you get punched in the face, right? Right. You get punched in the face. You get punched in the bowel. You know, you get like sidekicked, you get kneed in the groin, you get these, you know, these things that are unexpected. It can come in the form of, I need to check with my GP. It can come in the form of like, oh, I just want to cancel my schedule of care because, you know, my husband doesn't agree what we're doing here. It can come in the form of, oh, this person's gone missing in action. Where are they? We can't get a hold of them anymore. We don't even know where they are. Okay. Yeah. It can come in the form of, I go into this great workshop and crickets, nobody comes up to me after to sign up new patients. It can be in the form of, I do this screening, I'm all optimistic, I rock up there and I don't sign up a single new person. Heck, I don't even talk to a single person. That's happened to me in a screening before, right? Where I have a stall there, I'm there for 6 hours. Not only do I not sign anyone up, I don't talk to a single person. And so that's those punches in the gut where you're like, oh man, does anyone actually even really care about chiropractic? Does anyone actually really care about their health? So you get these punches in the gut and after a while, kind of like, can almost extinguish that flame a little bit. But then you have to come again. Maybe it's a holiday. Maybe it's vacation. Maybe it's 3 or 4 days off. Or you get reinvigorated. You're like, all right, I'm back on course. Here's the vision. We're going back in this direction. And then you come back to practice. And after a week or two, you get those punches again and you kind of get taken off course. So this happened to me for years where I'd go through this process of like to mega pumped and clearer in vision to mega low, like this is getting nowhere, right? Mm-hmm. But did you have experience like this at all ever? Or was it just mainly me?
Yeah, no, I mean, you did a great job of like illustrating those. I think I did a good job of surrounding myself with people frequently. So I maybe didn't feel the vacillation quite so dramatically, but we all have scar tissue around like, oh, that was hard. And I don't want to experience that again. Or I just got my butt handed to me and, you know, like I'm going to need to get better because that was a bad experience or like, that was ugly, right? So I think we all go through that where you're failing forward faster or you've hired the wrong person and you got to let them go. Like all those things feel horrible when they're happening. So yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, all of us fall into a rhythm or a way of doing things. So for example, you know, your morning this morning probably was according to a certain rhythm. So my morning this morning was definitely according to my standard rhythm of how I start a morning, right? So we do slip though into these rhythms and the way of doing things, which just becomes, well, that's the way that we do it, right? So what we want to talk about today is how do you break free of those rhythms, especially and most importantly, the ones that don't serve you? Because there are rhythms around things that you do that absolutely serve you positively. However, there are rhythms around how you do things that are holding you in the level that you're at right now. And unless you break those rhythms, you will not break through to the next level. That's what's important to understand. Many people think, if I just keep doing what I'm doing, but I do it harder or I do it a bit better, that's what gets to my next level of growth. But the reality is, even if those things 1% grow, you want, you know, exponential growth. I'm talking like 50% growth. If you want to double this year, if you want to get more than double this year, and I see practices that are $2 million practices that in a year almost double, but I definitely see $2 million practices that add $1 million in a year. Okay. So it doesn't matter where you're sitting. If you want exponential growth this year, the level of thinking around how you address things needs to shift and change. And there's certain rhythms that you're doing right now in your calendar that if you audit your calendar, you'll identify these rhythms don't serve me. And so what we want to talk about today is this process around how do we regularly audit our calendar? Okay, so actually sit down and have a look at our weekly calendar and see where am I spending and dedicating time? Yeah. And then when we do that audit, how do we select the things that are not serving us? Okay. But then also, how do we then find time for the things that we need to start doing that are going to help serve us to get to the next level? And that's the productivity hack. It's auditing your calendar so that your calendar reflects your goals and your calendar reflects your vision. Lena, I'd love to hear your experience with this. So obviously you've got a lot of things going on, from multiple practices to speaking to coaching. You know, there's multiple stuff going on, family and kids and travel and vacations. I'm assuming you run a calendar. I should check with that first, but I'd love to know, how imperative is your calendar in you being able to get things done? And when you have a new thing, we're opening up a new practice, what do you do when it comes to your calendar to make sure that your calendar represents your goals?
All right, I'm going to come back to my calendar in a second. But when you just said auditing your calendar, I would like also to say that probably what I audit the most is my energy, right? Like, where does something flatline my energy, and how quick can I get it back to where I want it to be? Because that's an internal choice. And like, when you use those examples of those things that can feel really challenging, a lot of it is building the rhythm in your calendar, and also the rhythm just in your own nervous system, to know how to just have yourself reverberate back to what you want to be experiencing, right? And so I think that's part of how you can create quicker and faster and more manifestation, is just being so aware of that the energy that's moving through you is a choice for where your set point is with how you look at that, right? So if I have this challenging thing happen, I can stay in the dumps about it longer, and that's just going to be the energy that's coming back at me for, you know, longer and longer and longer, until I snap myself back to like, wait, I want to feel excited. I want to feel loving. I want to feel neutral. I want to, whatever it is, that's equally as important as actually what's on your calendar.
So I love that you brought that up. I've got a question for you on that. So when you say energy audit, have you identified when in the week or when in the day that your energy is best, or do you have different energy sources? Like, I know some people talk about, all right, you know, I've heard people talk about, okay, well, there's management style energy, then there's creative style energy, right? There's different styles of energy according to different types of brain. Have you worked out for yourself when is your best energy, and when do you do certain work in the week and in the day?
Yeah, I'm most productive in the morning. I also am a mom with like young kids still. So some of like when I'd really do my most productive work is not available to me right now in the way that I want it, because I want to be present for my kids at certain times in the day. So, you know, some of it is just like, what season of life are you in, and what are you going to need to make work for rhythms in your life? But I certainly have a rhythm, and I don't deviate much from my rhythm within my day. So there's days where maybe, like, especially when my kids were nursing, like, I might have to have more grace periods of how things work for me, but there, you would still find the same things in my day. They just might have to happen at a little more of a flexible standpoint than, you know, especially me pre-kids. But from an energetic standpoint, there's some non-negotiables in my own rhythms that just don't even cross my mind, is like, I even have to schedule them in because they're going to be in there, because I know that I can't function if I don't have some of these things in place for me to keep my energy where it needs to be.
Yeah, I love that you said that. I 100% am not an evening person in terms of producing quality work and in terms of being creative. No way. I remember some people are like, dude, at 9 p.m. I come alive and I can't go to bed. I'm like, right. No, I've recognized that at 7 p.m. I'm next to hopeless. Right. All I really want to be doing at that time is being completely present with my family. In fact, I start that from 3 p.m. So what I have recognized when I do a calendar audit is exactly like you, Lena. I'm most productive in the morning. Specifically, what time window is it? I'm most productive at my energetic absolute best from 4:30 a.m. until about 9 a.m. Okay. That's a peak window for me. So my standard routine, without going into detail of this, is I'm usually up at 4 so that I'm at the gym by 4:30, 4:45. So I do work out. Sometimes though, I work out in the middle of the day because I've identified that exercising with my body gives me an energetic lift. So if I have to plan my day, often I can start at 4 and I'll start working at 4:30, but I'll actually go for a workout at like 11, so mid-morning. So I work at 11. So then at 12, I've got another energy hit. So it serves me from like that 12 to like 3 p.m. or if I'm adjusting, because I do 2 shifts a week where I adjust in the evenings, I want to make sure that my energy is on point for those adjusting shifts. But when it comes to like creative work, so if I'm filming content, i.e. right now this podcast is being filmed 7:30 a.m. my time. So if we're creating content, podcast content, VSL videos, landing pages, scripts, Facebook ads, okay, any marketing material, I want to be making that in the mornings. Mm-hmm. Now, the issue that I ran into a few years ago is I was like, man, you know, at that stage we're onboarding our third associate. So I was like, okay, we need a calendar that reflects more new patients, right? And with each new associate, you need a calendar that's able to draw more new patients in. One thing I recognized is I was like, every morning in my weekly calendar was out. It was like, it was something along the lines of, I can't remember it now exactly, but it was like Monday morning I'm adjusting. So I'm like, all right, Monday morning is out until like 11. Tuesday morning I was doing team meetings, so that was out. Wednesday morning I was in coaching calls and masterminds, that was out. Thursday morning I was doing adjusting, was my second morning adjusting shift at that time. Friday morning it was family meetings, okay, and executive meetings. And I was like, so I really don't Monday to Friday have morning. So unless I want to do it on Saturday, which at that stage I could do Saturday because I didn't have kids at all. There was no real morning time, which was my most productive, most creative time to do creative work. So then I was forced to do creative work at a time, which isn't optimal. I didn't recognize this. And as a result of that, I was not doing my best work, or it was hard for me. It was one of these things that I know I need to be doing this, and God, I know I should be doing this right now, but I can't be bothered doing it right now. It would just fall into that category and then it just wouldn't get done.
Yeah. Like you, Bobby, so, I think the more ability you have to control your schedule, because right now, if you're listening, you might be like, well, my schedule is this way because I have to be in the adjustatorium at these times and da, 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 da. I think, you know, as you build your team, you're looking for these ways where you can buy back more of the energetics in your week so that you can employ them in other ways. Right.
And I feel most people are adjusting too much. I'm not sure if you experience this, Lena. Like even people that are a one-man band, you're like, what are you open? And they're open like 34 hours. What are you doing 34 hours? Because you have a lot of white space in your calendar then, which you're just in the probably peak zones, energetic zones. You're just wasting that energy because you've got gaps in your calendar. Oh, that's right. One of the first things that we do is work in a proper strategic plan to start condensing that calendar, get rid of most of those shifts. And I see it. You know, people will all the time reach out for help and support with coaching. They'll be like, all right, doc, I'm ready to go to the next level. Like, coach me. And then you start going through, okay, cool. Let's organize a time for your call. Can't do that. How many hours are you adjusting? And even before you jump on your first call, you recognize what majority of the issue is. It's like you've got this person that's on a certain level that's doing probably triple the amount of hours that they should be doing. Right. And it's like what that's doing is it's actually sapping away at your mojo and your energy. And I say that founder's mojo is the number one asset inside of the business. So you're frying not only your number one asset, which is time, but you're also frying your energy and your mojo, which is what your business needs to be about today.
Oh, that was so good, Bobby. I think if you are at under 200 visits a week, you need to go back and listen to that like four times.
100%. Okay. And I learned this with John DiMartini. He had a private meeting with me once. I was filming him for a event that he was going to be at. And I had to go and do like a promotional video for him. And, you know, I had a chance to get like a one-on-one meeting for like half an hour after. And one of the things he explained to me, he's like, look, I think at that time I was seeing like 60 people. I was in my first or 1 or 2 years of practice. And he was like, okay, you know, how many of you things? And I was like, well, I'm seeing about 60 visits a week. And I was doing at that stage probably about, if I count it up now, I'm probably doing about 30 hours of adjusting to see 60 people. And he's like, no, you're doing it wrong. He's like, there's an 80-20 rule, which means that 80% of those people could see in your 20% of your time. Okay. So you tell me what your busiest time is. And I was like, oh, that's easy. At that stage, it was a practice where I was like, it's 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. in the evening. He goes, if it was me, I would do 2 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. That's it. A week can get all 80 into those 2 to 4 hours. That's it. All right. And he goes, 80% of them, and at a push, 90% of them can get into that. So if you're like, I'm doing Mondays from 4 till 6 and Thursdays 4 till 6, and get those 60 to 80 people in those 2 to 4 hours a week on Monday and Thursday, that's it. And he goes, you've got the rest of the time when your energy is at its peak, at its best, to focus on building the business, marketing, sales, team building, vision casting, development, right? These other things that are actually going to scale the business for you.
Right. And that's where the discipline comes in, because when you do that, you squeeze your time down. You need to make sure that you're using it then, the time you just got back, to do the things that are going to grow it to the next level, like training your team at a set time every week and making sure that the huddles are non-negotiable and the post-shift huddles, all those things that we should have living on our calendars if they're not, so that the team knows exactly what is happening each day at each part of the week, right?
Yeah, exactly right. So here's the lesson for today. Here's what we want to trend with you guys on. And that is this. When you look at your goals for the year, okay, I want you to have crystal clear clarity about the vision of what you're striving to achieve. All right. So look at the wherever you're going in the next quarter, the next 12 months, clarity. And then the next question, when you feel as though, great, I've got good clarity where I'm going, the next question you should ask yourself straight away is, does my calendar reflect these goals? Okay. Does my calendar reflect these goals? And then part B of that is, what am I going to be letting go of? And where am I going to be adding time that's going to have activities that are related to those goals and to that vision? because Napoleon Hill and Think and Grow Rich told us that there's no such thing as something for nothing. And I remember in the beginning when I was seeing hardly any people at all, and I was like, I want to get to 100 visits a week. What am I going to give up? I was like, I don't know. I don't have anything to give up. My calendar is empty. But what I recognized at the time when I read further into his teachings, okay, is you do actually have something to give up, and that's your time, okay? I had to profess, what time am I going to give up in order to achieve the goal, which at that stage was 100 visits a week, right? Lana, what's been your experience with this? Have you had a similar breakthrough?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's awesome. And it's discipline. You can disguise that as discipline at first. Like, I'm willing to give up some of this, like, way I've been behaving when I've been undisciplined in order to get that which I what I want, right? So being disciplined with your thoughts, your time, your efforts, and then eventually buying back your time and employing other people, which means you're giving up some of the attachments you have to doing things the way that you've always done them, and you're growing as, you know, you're evolving in how things can be done. Yeah.
Yeah. Pull up your calendar, okay? Look at your weekly calendar, and I want you to start writing first step everything you have in that calendar. So where are you adjusting? Put that area in there. Where do you have dinner? Put that area in there. Where are you working out? Put that in there. Where are you spending time with family? Put that in there. Remember, anything that's not on your calendar, it's not going to get done. So start looking. I want you to, on one page, have your weekly calendar mapped out. So it's on one page sitting in front of you, because I'm very visual. So when I see it, I start to recognize, where am I disjointed? Where am I jagged? Where am I overcommitted? Where do I have free time? Here's a big one. Where do I have free time, but I'm actually not being present? Mm-hmm. They said that one of the secret skill sets of Michael Jordan, actually, one of the things that made him so great, is his ability to be absolutely present in the moment with whatever he was doing, whether that was on the basketball court or doing an interview post-media. And when I heard that, when I watch him, I see it. I see interviews, his mind isn't off like, okay, other people, his head isn't somewhere else. It's like there's this 100% presence with whatever he's doing in that moment. In fact, I love that documentary on Netflix, The Last Dance, and you know, he's got a competition where he's trying to roll a coin as close as possible to the wall, right? And I found that scene so interesting because it was like he's 100% present in rolling that coin to the wall, even though they're in the middle of a championship winning season, and he's the main guy where he has to be present, right, on the field, and there's a game happening on the court, and there's a game happening that day. So you look at your calendar and you go, where do I have free time that I'm supposed to be with my family, but I'm actually not being present? Because that's where you're losing the biggest opportunities, I feel.
Yeah. When I'm at work, I work. When I'm at home, I'm home, right? Like, where are you? Be where your feet are, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, 100%. So step one, guys, is write out your calendar on a piece of paper 1 week in front of you so you can see it, okay? Then step two, pull out a highlighter. I need you to have three highlighters, green, yellow, red, okay? First thing that I want you to do, I want you to highlight green. And what's green is the things that you love doing. If you have a team, your team loves when you're doing this. And number three, it makes money. All right. So you look at activities that you love doing, your team loves that when you're doing this. Number three, it makes me the most money. That becomes green. All right. Yellow becomes, I'm okay at doing it. Somebody else probably could do it. And if you say probably, it means somebody else definitely can do it. 80% done by somebody else is 100% awesome. Yeah. So let me give you an example of this. Cutting your grass at home. Okay. That makes some small return. You're saving the $30 an hour that it costs someone to do that. Okay. Are you okay doing it? Sure. Do you not mind doing it? Sure. Delegate it out. All right. Free up the time. Okay. Because there's high value activities you can be filling that time up with. And then red is, quite frankly, things that you're horrible at doing that make you no money or cost you money. And that when you do it, it actually saps your energy. You start getting rid of those things, delegate to your team. If you're one person, you can start contracting out to people, right? Yellow, you start creating a plan to outsource that, and you free up your calendar, all right? You start freeing up. If you don't like checking emails, guess what? Get someone on your team that's an assistant, or you may already have an office manager, someone, and put them in charge every morning checking calendar emails, and just mark the ones that require my attention to make decisions about high-level things. That's it. Everything else, delete, reply, get rid of. Okay, that would be an example of it. So when you do that calendar audit, every time that I do that, I find a plethora of time that I can actually, that I can clean up, and that I can start putting things that I want that align to my goals. Because this year I have a series of goals. Some of those are business related. Some of those are health related. Some of those are body related. Some of those are relationship related. Some of those are vacation related. Okay. Some of those are personal relation. So you, all of them, they require one thing, time and attention. So if they don't live in my calendar, then I'm not going to give them the time or attention. I can't make decisions that are aligned with those goals. And then I start making decisions that are out of alignment. And that's what leads to problems.
So good, Bobby. And for you listening, like the discipline to know when you've set the time that you're actually doing and following through on the time, you're not, again, not doing the thing. You might be half doing it. Are you fully doing it? I think that's big. And if you look at an area of your life that you've had a lot of success in, maybe it's relationships, maybe it's finance, maybe it's the practice, whatever it is, maybe it's your health, right? If you're being honest with yourself, it's because you put a lot more effort and energy and time into probably getting to that point where now it's smooth sailing and you know how to be successful in that region of your life. So how do you just take the cliff notes of what got you to that level of success in that part of your life and apply it, especially to some of the areas that really could use the attention and the TLC that you maybe have neglected? And how do you build that back into your schedule?
Yeah, exactly. 100%. Here's the homework and takeaway for today. We want you to have a look at your calendar and we want you to ask yourself the question, does my calendar reflect my goals that I hold for myself at this present moment? Then we want you to write down everything that you're currently doing. You're doing audit of your calendar and highlight green, yellow, red. All right. Exactly like the way you described. Then your goals and action steps become very easy. Get rid of the red. All right. Delegate the yellow and do more of the green or add things in that are aligned with your goals. So if you have goals this year on wanting to lose weight, drop a certain amount of body fat, put a certain amount of muscle on, you know you're going to have to be training a certain amount of times a week. You know you're going to have to be doing meal prep. You know you're going to have to be eating at specific times. Is that ruled out in your calendar? When am I preparing meals? When am I doing my training? When am I going to bed? When am I waking up? Now, sure, things will pop up, right? Like kids and other things of that nature. However, if you've got a map, then it makes it easier when things do pop up, how you can course correct. So I'll often, even in my calendar, put free time where I'm like, okay, this is some catch-up time. So if I don't get that workout at that time, the other time I can do it is here, right? Now, there's some days there ain't no catch-up time. So I know, all right, if I don't work out tomorrow morning at 4:30, there's nowhere else in the day that I'm going to be able to work out for whatever it takes to be an hour and a half by the time I go there, work out, and come back home, which means that I'm going to be extra disciplined, like going to bed on time, making sure my routine is being met. So that I don't sacrifice, because by sacrificing that time, I'm actually sacrificing my goal.
So good. There's a reason why, you know, you hear the like phrase, like you want something done, give it to a busy person. Even if we don't love the word busy, we can replace that with productive. You want something done, give it to a productive person. It's because you will find the time and stay disciplined around it to get it done.
Yeah. Spot on the mark. And that's why, because productive people manage their calendar better, right? Right. So big tagline for me is this. You show me your calendar, I'll show you your outcomes. It's that simple. Show me your calendar and I'll show you your outcomes. Nothing else matters when it comes to goals. That's the first starting point. If that's wrong, you will not hit your goals or you'll hit them at the expense of something. Mm. I just hope that it's not at the expense of something that you love. Mm.
So good. Thanks, Bobby.
Yeah, cool. All right, team. Guys, if you want an inside look into how we make this work, as always, follow us on our socials. So jump into Instagram, add Dr. Lona Cook, or myself, Dr. Bogdan Ilijasvic, Bobby Ilijasvic on Instagram. That's where we go into detail and show you how we make it all work behind the scenes, in office, in life. Or, of course, hey, give us a 5-star rating because that definitely helps us help more people. It's the only way that we market the podcast, and your ratings help us immensely. So until next time, have a fantastic day. Lona, I'll catch you next week.
Thanks, Bobby.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Build Your Remarkable Practice podcast. Remember, what the world needs now is chiropractic, and what chiropractic needs now is more successful chiropractors. If you like the podcast, please subscribe, share with your friends, and leave us a review. And if you'd like to connect with us personally, please click the links in the show notes to schedule a call.